Hi everyone, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
Fair enough. It's Christmas!
It's Christmas!
Oh god, it's Christmas!
It's Christmas! You know what that means? Our annual Nick ranting about Hallmark movies episode.
In this episode, 2011's A Princess for Christmas and 2017's A Royal Winter.
Yeah, A Royal Winter.
I was going to say A Royal
That one's actually princess. Set in January, so I don't know if we can even call it a Christmas movie. Yeah, so these are both...
terrible movies.
These are both Hallmark movies about a woman from New York who takes a trip to a microstate near the Alps in Europe and meets and falls in love with a prince while she's there. And also, in both cases, I think one is supposed to be Liechtenstein and the other one's a made-up country, but both are filmed in Romania.
Okay. Where to start? The only major difference between these two movies...
is the dead sister?
Is the fact that one of them, they're semi-related, which is super weird. So in a Princess for Christmas, she is the auntie to two orphaned children.
Yep.
Her sister married into a wealthy family, and the family disowned the son because she didn't have a title because she was a commoner.
Mm-hmm.
And then they died. Was that explained how they died?
No.
I'm going to go with Peter Parker's backstory in a plane crash.
I assumed car crash, but it's because if they're both dead, it's not like it's an illness or something. You know what I mean?
And the royal family just abandons the orphans to the sister who's...
She's a salesperson in an antique shop. She's a salesperson in an antique shop.
Yes, that's what the explanation is, but is clearly the first time you see her in doing her job, and I say that with air quotes, she is fixing some antique clock thing.
Right.
And the guy who's the boss is... could have been replaced by a cardboard cutout because his fucking acting is so wooden.
It's because he's played by the director, not an actor.
And it's just like, you're my best salesperson, but unfortunately...
Hi, Johnny, you're my favorite customer.
Yeah, unfortunately, sales are down, so I don't actually do any work, but I'm going to have to let you go. What? She I'll take this one, and jumps up to serve a customer, sells something, and he's like, nah, I'm going to let you go. You're like, I can't keep the business open. That's because you're not working, mate. That's because as the owner or operator of this antiques and stuff...
Oh, yeah, that's, I forgot that it was called Antiques and Stuff. It's called Buffalo, because it's set in Buffalo, New York, and the shop is literally Buffalo Antiques and Stuff.
And she is clearly fixing an antique clock. Nah, you're my best sales girl. Sorry, because I don't do any work and my business is shit, I have to let you go. Like, what? Like, literally, you let her go and you're closed next week, mate, because you don't friggin' do anything. He's just sitting at a desk facing...
He answered the phone at one point, didn't he? Because he was like, antiques and stuff, and I thought it was ridiculous, and then it cut to the front door, and it's literally called antiques and stuff.
So she's unemployed, and gets like the, what's that movie with the guy in it? Oh my god, my brain. I feel like it's King George, but that's not the correct term. Is it John Cleese? It's not John Cleese, it's the British guy.
Who are you talking about?
Who was in Red State?
Who was in Red State?
Who's the FBI agent?
The movie that you like. Yeah. I don't remember who's in.
He's a comedian. Was he on Roseanne? John Goodman.
I was going to say John Goodman. Was he in Red State?
Yeah, he plays the FBI agent in Red State.
I don't remember that. Why would that be your go-to for John Goodman? He's into so many things.
Because
you could have been like Scully from Monsters, Inc.
Because the only other thing I could think of was...
Big Lebowski.
Meet the Flintstones.
Oh yeah, if you said who plays Fred Flintstone, I would have known the answer.
Okay. Yeah, so
Red State.
Yeah. And basically gets a knock at the door of being like, oh, by the way, you're like the grandfather, the maternal grandfather, no, paternal grandfather of your dead sister's husband wants you to fly.
No, his father, not grandfather.
This is the kid's grandfather.
Yeah, but you said of your dead sister's husband.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, the father of your dead sister's husband.
The father of the kids that you were a guardian to.
Yeah, wants to fly you to Europe because he's sick and wants to meet the children before he passes away.
Yeah, and that, which turns out to be a lie.
Yeah. And it's all like, oh, here's $12,000.
I like how you've gone off in like a whole tangent here. Because you were initially saying, here's the difference between the two movies, and then you've just started fully explaining the plot.
I'm getting there. And they go to Europe, right? That's the whole how to get you to Europe thing.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you get a fresh grad law student mm-hmm. who's passed the bar and is trying to get a job in a law firm.
Yeah.
And is talking herself out of basically working 200 hours a week. And sleeping in the office and being like, I want this job because daddy said I should.
Mm.
And then is like, we should go to, I'm unemployed and waiting on a job interview. Let's go to Europe.
Yeah, her parents seem to be quite wealthy.
Yeah.
So she can afford it because they're paying for all her shit in America.
Yeah.
Seems to be the explanation from what I gathered. And her friend is going on a trip to this place. And she was supposed to be going with another friend who backed out. So the tickets are already bought.
Yeah.
So then she's like, why don't you come instead? Take your mind off it. It's a 2-week trip and they're not going to get back to you for 2 weeks about this job that you interviewed for. I thought you were going to say the difference was... Well, you did. You started to say it because you were saying that she's related to the guy. The difference is that... In one, it's all about, like, her family. You know, she's there because of family, and it's her brother. Her brother-in-law's brother
yep.
is the prince. And he says at one point, I inherited the prince. I'm a prince on my mother's side or something, which is a weird concept, especially since the mother apparently is dead. Or, I mean, I assume is dead because she's never mentioned, except for him saying that he's a prince on his mother's side. Whereas in the other one, it's just like a guy that she meets out and about and doesn't realize he's a prince till later.
Yeah, after he runs over her really cool handmade hat.
Yeah. Though I will say, actually, I feel like the lady in A Royal Winter has a better grasp on what it means that he's a prince. Because, like, in A Princess for Christmas... Like, they keep referring to him as a prince, and he says he's a prince on his mother's side and all this stuff, and that it's literally not until the end when they get together that she's like, what do you mean? She's like, we're not heirs to a throne or anything, and he's like, yes, I am. Like, what do you think prince meant? What did she think a prince was?
The question, here's the confusing part.
Mm-hmm.
The dad... And grandfather, same person, is played by Roger Moore.
Yes.
Okay. What is his title?
Is he a duke?
He's a duke of Castleberry something. Hang on while
yeah, Castleberry Hall, right?
Okay.
He's a duke, and he was married to a princess.
Who's the reigning monarch?
I guess his parent-in-law? Because his wife is clearly dead. Unless they're divorced and his wife is a queen somewhere. And they're divorced and he's a duke. Which is a whole other situation.
None of which is explained within the plot of the movie.
Yeah, it's never explained. So either, we have two options. Either his mother or father-in-law is king or queen of whatever country that's not the country that he's in. It's not Liechtenstein. Because that's why the prince has been... off somewhere else where he's prince of, I presume.
Just princing about.
He's just prince of somewhere. So either it's the prince's grandparents are king and queen, or the mother and father are divorced and she's off being a queen somewhere without him.
Here's the part that took me out of the movie the most. Everybody has an English accent.
Yeah, in both movies.
In both movies.
In both movies, they're like in Central Europe and the monarchy are entirely English. Except for actually in A Princess for Christmas, there's like other noble people who are just French. There's just French noble people show up.
Yeah.
But no, but like the people from Liechtenstein are all British.
Yeah.
Which is very strange. Also, like, several people in that movie are not from where they're actually. None of the Americans are American. The lady, the main lady is Irish. The teenager is Canadian, and the other girl is English, I think, the little girl.
Oh, yeah, Travis Turner. That was the weirdest part of that whole thing.
He seemed... Now, here's the thing. So she's got a niece and nephew, yeah, right? And the niece is like a little girl, played by a little girl, and yeah, she's a little girl.
Yeah.
The nephew feels like they just found a short man and put him in the role. It's like if you cast Peter Dinklage as a 10-year-old, and we're like, that's the height 10-year-olds are, and therefore this is a 10-year-old.
You know but what year he was born?
He was a teenager. He was legitimately a teenager when they made this.
What? No. He was born in 1987.
What?
He was born in 1987.
Hang on, when I looked him up, he said he was born in the 90s.
No. Travis Turner... 1987. He was a year younger than me.
1993 is what it says on his wiki page. Okay. Oh no, years active. I misread that.
Yeah.
Okay, so he is. I was like, wow, he really looks like a weird little man when he was only 18. But no, you're right. Okay, he was in the acting business for 18 years.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I feel less bad about it then. Because he does look like they just cast...
A full-grown man who's short.
Yeah, there's cast a full-grown man who's short. It's like that episode of Recess where there's the guy, the exchange student or whatever, but he's like a FBI agent. He's just a short guy that they put in the school because they thought he could pass for a 10-year-old. Except hello, that's a cartoon. Hello, fellow children. Yeah. Yeah, it's that kind of thing. Okay, cool. Clay did think he legitimately just looked like he was a fully grown man who just was small. So it is very much like if they put Peter Dinklage as like a 10-year-old. And yes, they were like, this is the height 10-year-olds are. And you'd be looking at him going, that's a man in his like 50s, 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
Clearly not a 10-year-old. They'd be like, have you seen 10-year-olds? They're this height. Yeah. And therefore it's a 10-year-old. Okay. So he is just a weird little man.
That's a bit ruthless.
No, I mean, in terms of like, he's not a teenager. He's just a shorter guy who's a fully grown man that they cast as a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, what's up, fellow kids, yeah, kind of role.
Yeah.
That's what have you ever seen Hannah Montana?
No.
Because that's what her brother was like. He was just like he was like in his 30s, but he was short, and therefore they were like, this is a teenager, and it's like, you look at him and you're like, that's a man. That's an adult man.
There are some
that you put a bowl cut on and pretended, God, that he was a teenager or whatever.
That's awful. That's serial killer vibes. It's like you go to his house and there's just doll heads hung up by string.
I don't think it was quite that bad. But it just literally was like, what are you doing? That's just like a guy. Here we go. There's a picture of him for you.
What? That's
Hannah Montana's teenage brother.
No, that's not. That's a that's a geriatric individual.
There they are together, clearly close in age.
No. He's got wrinkle lines.
Yeah, there's some weird trend of like casting. Well, I mean, I guess it has worked in the past. Like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future passed as a teenager. But that was because he had a baby face.
Also, it's not low just definition. He was short.
True, low definition.
When you're in 4 to 4+K,
there's no way those Hallmark movies are in 4K.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're like 720p. My point being,
240p.
Yeah. I tell you what was 240p. Oh my god.
What?
So, in a royal wedding, no, a royal winter. Oh god, in a royal winter, folks. Folks, sit down for this one. If you're standing up, sit down. They use B-roll, and I don't even think they used CGI. I think
the castle?
It wasn't even just the castle.
I think they just, like, took a picture of a castle somewhere and then just, like, green-screened it into the background of this village. The village is real.
The village is real.
Yeah.
The castle is humongous. Doesn't make any sense from a, like, prospective point of view. There was a point in time where they were just, like, I think it was the end of the movie, where they look up at a bit. It was, like, going to that weird ball that he organizes in 5 days.
No, the weird ball in 5 days is in the other movie.
Oh, God.
I think it's when she's going to dinner to meet mother.
She's going to dinner, and they like do this weird like forced perspective like camera zoom upwards to show how big the building is, and it looked like the same floor just like photoshopped on top of each other.
Yeah, it's a weird. I don't understand what they were doing.
It was like a plate. It wasn't like, was no texture, it was all texture and no frame.
We know that they like to cut corners with Hallmark stuff. I mean, it's like the, you know, when we talked about last year, Christmas in Notting Hill, where it was all filmed in Dublin. None of it is filmed in Notting Hill.
Yeah.
It's like, where's the cheapest place we can film? How's the cheapest place we can do
this? They were filming in Romania, right?
Yeah, they filmed in Romania.
Then why didn't they go to like, I'm assuming there's castles in Romania.
Probably.
Why don't they just film outside of those? I don't know. Filming permission to go to some, like...
Maybe they just got picture, like permission to use a picture of it instead.
Oh, my God. They literally used a picture of it and filmed.
I'm pretty sure that's what they've done. That's what it looked like to me.
It was awful.
Mm. The village is a real Romanian village, but that castle I don't think is in it.
Just proportionately, it didn't make any sense. The windows were, like, how close... How, like, it's supposed to be, like, on this hill... Like, over the top of the village, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, first off, from a defensive point of view, kind of makes sense. Yep. Except you'd want a smaller... Like, the one we went to when we were in Ireland together.
Which one?
The one that was, like, a tour. The one that was, like, enclosed in the wall. And the tour guide went through the wall and we walked around the perimeter and had a look at the actual castle where you had to pay money to go into the actual castle part on paid tour. There was, like, a bridge. We'd crossed a bridge multiple times and it was like one way. This makes no sense to anybody who's listening to
it. Probably, are you talking about Tintern Abbey?
Was it Tintern Abbey?
Because that's an abbey, it's not a castle.
But it had a wall around the outside of it, right?
That's the one in Wexford.
No, this was on our like heading west trip.
Okay, so whereabouts?
I don't remember. It was a giant blur. It was a giant blur of terrifying back streets.
We did go to a bunch of castles. Oh, wait. Is it the one that we paid into and went through all the rooms and stuff? The, like, hexagonal one? No.
No.
What one is it? We went to so many castles.
We went to so many castles.
Okay. Describe it more for me. I'm sure everyone is loving this.
It was walled in.
What do you mean walled in?
Like, it had a perimeter wall.
Okay.
So it wasn't like a tower house.
Right, so it wasn't.
And it wasn't a church. It was an actual castle-y castle.
Okay.
And we parked up somewhere in a random car park and then walked like 2 blocks down the street.
This is sounding like the one where we went in and there was all the rooms and it was hexagonal and there was like the different soldier uniforms and stuff.
No. That was the fort on the bridge and it was raining that day. And it kept getting blown up.
It was raining
up.
That day.
That place kept blowing up and they kept rebuilding.
Yeah, they kept blowing it up. I think it was... Was that Athlone Castle?
Anyway, point being... from a tactical point of view, putting a castle on the hill makes sense. But, like, the castle is, like, way bigger than the village.
Mm.
And it's, like, it's supposed to look like it's far away. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't because, like, the hill was, like, clearly behind a house. And they were just like, ah, oh, fuck it, put it, like, right there.
Yeah.
It looked, yeah, it was just, like, blooming, like, it was, like, some sort of beast or Dracula living there, and then just, like, looming over the village of all the, like, poor people, and there's, like, one dude who's going to organize a Beauty and the Beast moment where he, like, gets everybody together with pitchforks and torches to...
It's a weird... The people in that village have a weird relationship with the royals.
Which movie?
What are you talking about? A Royal Winter.
A Royal Winter, he's like, in the public eye, he's like a playboy.
Yeah, but it makes no sense, okay? It makes no sense. Because here's the thing. He has his own foundation where he...
No one knows about it.
How does no one know about it? If he's got his own foundation in his name, it's he personally signed an NDA. He personally trains these orphan children at volleyball. And he's there coaching them.
And
I don't think he's got much involvement with the choir, but there is also a choir in the volleyball court,
which
on a stage with like theater stuff and a library.
And a volleyball court. So
he's got a foundation where he gives his money to do this stuff, and he personally coaches these kids, and then he's like, no one knows about this. My mother doesn't know this exists. No one has ever come here before. No one knows this exists. It's like, what about all these children?
The children are orphans.
So,
they've got no parents to tell
anyone.
No one would believe them. No one would believe the
dirty orphans. Gaslighting a bunch of orphans?
Yes. One of them tries to get kicked out of the hotel because she's selling knickknacks that she's handmade. She doesn't have a home. They're orphans. And she's also the best singer in the choir. And it requires whatever her face's name is. Jules to come along
and tell
her that the only way to not be afraid of being on stage is to picture everybody in a clown nose.
She's
the best singer in the choir.
What else? So people seem to really respect him around town, but then also he apparently has this Playboy reputation, and also apparently people want to date him because he has a Playboy reputation. And then also, like, the concierge is willing to keep it a secret that he's a prince, and is, like, quite happy to go along with this.
And random cafe guy.
Yeah, yeah. People just, like, accept that he doesn't want her to know that he's a prince, and they're, like, real chill about it. And then they just, like, treat him like a regular person. But then also, like, the second that he kisses her, suddenly there's, like, a million paparazzi everywhere all the time. It's, like, you're in this tiny village of, like, 10 houses. Where did all these paparazzi come from?
I made a mistake earlier, folks. I'd like to apologize publicly. It's Maggie is their character. I got them confused because they are literally copy and paste blank slate characters designed in a way to put yourself in that position.
So Jules is the one in the other one?
Jules is the clumsy. Oh my God. The children are friggin' menaces, right? They have an entire, like, they arrive at the castle, the whatever the hell it is.
A palace, I think.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all CGI. And they get their own butler / house handmaiden, whatever the hell they're called. Housemaid. I'm not rich, folks. I used to have to climb a hill to the water tower to send a text message. It's a true fact.
You had a phone to send text messages, though.
Yeah, it's because I bought my own phone because I collected 2,600 mil Coca-Cola wrappers and sent $20 in the mail to get an Alcatel One Touch Easy. Text messages were like 20 cents back then, and you could only send 140 characters. Where was I going? She looks like they both look like discount versions of actual famous actors.
Right.
Cannot remember which one's which.
I think we said that Jules in A Princess for Christmas looked like a knockoff version of Keira Knightley.
That's right.
Who did you think the other one looked like?
I don't remember. These photos on IMDb are quite glamorous looking. It's not really... who was the girl that was in House?
Olivia Wilde.
She looks like discount Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, I can see it.
If you showed me that picture and said that was Olivia Wilde,
you'd believe it.
I'd believe it 100%.
Yeah, I can see it. I wouldn't have thought it offhand, but yeah. I can see it now that you've said it.
Yeah. So they're basically like, I'm not saying that they're unattractive women. I'm just saying they are like, place yourself in this position kind of BS.
It's like Twilight. Point of Twilight is that Bella is literally like anyone can picture themselves with her reading it.
Both the princes are generic white guy with brown hair.
Yeah.
Like not overly handsome, but also not unattractive.
Mm-hmm. At least one of them had a personality, though. I felt like...
Adrian?
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one seems very like... I'm super awkward, and you're my dead sister's brother-in-law? Is that right?
He's her dead sister's brother-in-law, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we he was weird.
Bang and adopt your niece and nephew.
Okay. He was weird because, like, he just kind of hung around and he had a girlfriend that he didn't seem to have any interest in. And then, like, he was like, I'm gonna stop your angsty teenager from being an angsty teenager by letting him shoot arrows. And then, like, that scene is so weird because the kid just comes out and shoots at the ground once and is like, oh, whatever. And it's like, okay, cool.
All right, 30-year-old man.
But, yeah, he just kind of feels very wooden. Whereas at least, like, and also they don't really have much interaction. Like, they are talking to each other, but there's no, like, content to it. Whereas, like, when you get the other two, Maggie and Adrian, I'm slowly remembering the names of these characters, they actually, like, bond over shared experiences and stuff, and they talk about, like, their dreams and their goals and the fact that they're both in positions where there's, like, a family business. He doesn't specify what his is, but they have, like, a family business that they have felt pressure to follow in their parents' footsteps and to, like, and their parents have, like, their life planned out for them, but it's not what they want to do, and they both are our only children, and they feel, like, this connection. So there is, like, between those two, there's like you can see an actual bond forming, and also he seems to actually just generally have a personality. Whereas, like, I don't think we even get to see a lot of the other guy, Sam Heughan's character, without.
I will, like, tell you what his name is. It's generic. It's Ashton.
Ashton.
Prince of, doesn't matter.
Castlebury Hall.
It doesn't matter. You can't be prince of a house.
Is his name Ashton? Did they ever call him that?
I don't know.
Anyway.
The only moment, I will correct you, the only moment of nephew-uncle interaction that happens is there's one locked house, like one locked room in the castle.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
And then the 30-year-old man pretending to be a child breaks into it because apparently he's got, like,
locker key tools or something.
His class is rogue and he's got natural ability to get a +4 on unlocking.
Yeah.
Breaks in there and is all like, oh, this is my dad's office. I don't understand why royalty need offices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no one's been in here in years since he died. And the window is open and there is snow on his desk. And I'm like, everything in this room would be rotten to shit.
Mm-hmm.
When did they die? Like, how long
have
they
been? We don't know. It's never said.
So, plausibly, it could have been years.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple seasons where the window to this room has been left open to the point where there's snow on the desk and they've literally, like, oh, it's been locked the entire, like, what?
Mm.
Just what? Just, like, little things like that are just, like, this whole poignant thing. And it's like, oh, this would have been fine if he'd gone in there and been like, oh, my God, it's stuffy, and opened the window. Like, oh, you know. It's so stale in here. Yes, no one's been in here. And yet, no, it's literally like it was already open when they woke mm-hmm. in there.
I don't see how that's contradicting what I said at all.
No, I'm just saying that it's the only moment in the entire movie that I can recall that they had any interaction.
That's not him and her, though. She's not involved in that scene at all.
No, the uncle and nephew.
I don't care about the uncle and nephew. We're talking about the love interests.
Oh, that's just shoot in incest to keep on the royal family pure-blooded.
Like, there's nothing between them. Like, the most interaction they have is where, like, he says to his girlfriend, like, oh, there's a problem. Or someone comes up to him and his girlfriend is like, oh, we need to choose between these two things. And he's like, oh, I don't know. And then she's like, that one is my favorite. And he's like, oh, I don't know about that. And then he goes to Maggie's or Jules's door and is like, there's a problem in the kitchen and they need to decide between this and this. And she's like, which one do you like? And he's like, oh, this one. She's like, that's it then. That's the one for you. And that's the romance. That's not very romantic, but I guess that's the romance.
I think he's just like blown away by the fact that she's so common but can name antiques
by looking at them. Yeah, everyone seems to be really blown away by the fact that she knows antiques.
Yeah.
And she fixes a clock at one point. They're like, that clock hasn't worked in years. It's like, did you ever... You're rich. You're, like, ridiculously wealthy. Why have you not just get someone to fix the clock?
I tell you, out of book, like, Roger Moore steals every scene he's in. But he plays... It's hard... He feels like he's playing the Bruce Wayne from Batman Beyond.
Oh, I can see that.
He's like old man Bruce Wayne rather than like I'm playing old man James Bond. He dresses like a Dracula. He hates everything except when someone explains it to him sweetly. Why is there a Christmas tree in a house? Merry Christmas, Granddad. Oh, I'm okay with this now.
Okay, I was like, I think I should have done a quote from you, but that was literally it. It was, why is he dressed like a Dracula?
Yeah.
I just thought it was a very funny thing to say.
He was dressed like Dracula.
Yeah.
He was dressed like Christopher Lee's Dracula. To the neck medallion and everything.
I will say, like, he doesn't take the role as seriously as Michael Caine in Muppet's Christmas Carol. You know what I mean?
No one knows what you mean.
No, but like Muppet's Christmas Carol, objectively, like a silly concept, but Michael Caine plays it like it's Shakespeare.
Yeah,
that's not what Roger Moore is doing here. Like, yes, he steals scenes, but he's definitely playing into the like exaggeratedness of it. So like he'll be like, oh, the joy, and, like he tries to play like joyful. He tries to be like angry old man and then joyful old man, and you know
he's like, oh, I get a paycheck.
So he's not phoning it in, but he's also not taking it very seriously, yeah. Would be my gut on that. Do you think one of these movies is better than the other?
Ooh, that's a good question. No.
You think they're equally bad?
I think they're just equally low effort.
Equally low effort.
Every positive that I could say about either of the movies is just overshadowed by all the negativity that goes along with it.
I think IMDb agrees with you because... oh, do you want to guess what they're rated on IMDb?
5.4.
6.3 and 6.4. So there's only...
I don't believe you.
0.1 of a difference between the two of them. So people do agree that they're about the same level. I did think A Royal Winter was a better movie, but that doesn't mean it's a good movie.
Okay. Here's my biggest gripe.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest gripe with A Princess for Christmas.
Yeah.
A Prince for Christmas?
Princess.
Princess for Christmas is it feels very incestuous.
It's very shoehorned as well.
Yeah. It's like, let's write the story and then try and make the dialogue fit.
Yeah,
it's rather than the other way around.
It's very cookie cutter, like, she's put, like, the situation is all set up for her.
It's like, very much like my partner volunteers at an animal shelter and I breed salamanders. Right. Our budget for a house is $1.5 million.
But it's like, she... You know, she loses her job and then conveniently... her sister and brother-in-law die and she's made guardian of these kids. Then she loses her job and conveniently the butler shows up with tickets to wherever, Liechtenstein. And then she goes there and conveniently there's a guy there for her who's living in the house and is her brother-in-law's brother. And she's like, cool, let's get... married and I'll be a princess and then whatever.
Can I point out something that I completely forgot about?
What?
The nanny.
Oh yeah, she has a housekeeper that she's paying for on her. Oh yeah, a nanny. So that she's paying for on her antique. She's not paying her.
She literally explains to her when she quits because the one child fills up. One kid's shoplifting.
Yeah.
Like.
A ninja video
game? R-rated...
Ninja zombie video game.
Yeah. And the other girl spills jam all over herself, and instead of being like, help, is like, oh, cool, I'll pour the entire contents of a bottle of Tide into the washing machine for my one shirt and floods the entire basement with like knee-deep foam.
Yeah.
And then...
standard kid stuff.
Yeah. And then says that her last two checks bounced anyway, so she's quitting.
Right.
And then the butler shows up, even though he was watching her through the window, and is just like, here's money, come to Europe. No, my biggest gripe... that was my biggest gripe, it's just that. The whole weird incestuous thing.
Yeah.
My biggest gripe for A Royal Winter is he makes this big song and dance about his... he's going to be coronated king.
Yeah.
That's why he can't be seen with, like, he's taking over his mother, and his mother's very much like, no, you have to do this, we're very British.
Yeah.
In southern France. He makes this big song and dance about how they need to change everything because the common, like, they're irrelevant to the modern era, which is true. They were a monarchy, were irrelevant, and that's why we had World War One.
Which she says directly to them, you're obsolete, and then they all don't like her.
Yeah.
That's fucking funny to me.
He says, fine, I agree, we'll change my speech a little bit, even though it was a copy and paste of my dad's one.
Yeah.
I request that we let the common people in because I am their king and I am nothing without them.
Yeah.
And then the actual coronation ceremony happens.
Yeah, and it's like 10 people.
It's like the same amount of people you get in a standard white people wedding with all the royals on one side and a bunch of like random other
extras. Way less people than you get at most weddings.
Yeah. With a bunch of generic people on the other side who we've seen throughout the movie, but none of the common people are there.
It doesn't make any sense that they're not, like, just, like, out in the public. Yeah. If that's what they're doing. It's really weird. Because it's, I mean...
and then
I don't know.
And then I went on that giant tirade about in person to you while watching the movie about Napoleon.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And Napoleon put on his own crown. Yeah. Because God didn't give it to him or whatever.
Yeah.
I do think that A Royal Winter is a better movie. I think that the characters make more sense. They're more fleshed out. Like, they actually have personalities, they actually have interests, they actually interact in a way that, you know, feels close to realistic.
Yeah, but there's not one point between these two movies.
What do you mean?
The difference in their rating is 0.1%.
Yeah. On IMDb.
Yeah.
I would rate the other one lower, I think, than it is on IMDb.
Both of them lower.
I think... because there's, like... in terms of a relationship, their relationship is healthier as well. I mean, they've just met each other. And in A Princess for Christmas, they just tiptoe around each other, and then at the end, they're like, and now we're together. Whereas in A Royal Winter, like, they meet... and then they go for a coffee date and, you know, feel things out. And then they decide to do a second date and, you know. And then she gets mad at him when she finds out, not from him, that he's a prince, that he didn't tell her. And then he's able to explain to her why, but also is, like, apologetic about it. And, you know, and they have, like, an argument that feels like a real argument. But, like, also there's things like, you know, when she gets the job, he's like... you know, that's the dream job, or that's really good for your career, so you should take it. And, you know, and he's saying, even though that means we have to be apart, you should do that. And then she's saying, you know, she talks to his mother, even though he says, like, my mom doesn't know about this foundation or what I do here, and I don't want to tell her. And she's like, okay, I'm gonna go. Anyway, maybe she went behind his back and did this. But she talks to her and gets her to go see it and see things from his perspective and why he wants the common people to come to the coronation and etc. And they both, like, do something to better each other, which is not anything that happens in the other one. You know, it feels more like a developing relationship, and they both also feel like better people. And, like, the writing, like, the queen buying, or, like, you know... getting business in the United States
formulating a contract on the guides of the only reason that law firm will get it if they hire this girl.
She's got three lucrative lawsuits or whatever that she hires them for, and says
who's she selling, like,
I don't know,
property rights.
And she's then yeah, it's all real estate stuff, yeah, is what yeah, she yeah. said.
Which is super dodgy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course it's dodgy. But, yeah, so she, like, you know, so there's a kind of a, you know, an element to it there of her not, or her trying to get rid of Maggie and, you know, and then coming around and saying to her, actually, it was me that did that. What?
We just uncovered it.
What?
That's super dodgy.
What? Was it real estate stuff?
Was she actually, was it actually real estate?
I don't know. I don't know if I took any specific notes about what her business was.
I'm going to look this up. Because that could be insane if true.
Insane if true.
Because that means they're embezzling.
She just said she hired the firm for 3 lucrative jobs, but that's all she said. Not
why does a
She said she does a lot of business in the United States. That was the thing that she said. We do a lot of business in the United States. Her son said she's primarily into real estate and politics. I don't know.
Do you not understand?
It's so not real.
I know it's not real.
It's not real.
But this is a movie we're watching. Remember the first year we did this?
Oh, the contract.
And then everyone should have been disbarred and had their legal license to practice as lawyers removed.
They got her drunk and made her sign a contract.
And the other guy just passed out while trying to read a fucking contract. No. Here's the problem. If they're doing real estate deals in the States.
Yeah.
Using what money?
Where does
the monarchy's mouth wealth come from?
Are you saying taxes?
So they're embezzling.
I don't think they're
tax. No,
does tax money go to the monarchy?
So the only one I know about is the English monarchy, mm-hmm. the Windsor family. So what they did is the royal family was going broke, and they leased the government like $250 million worth of land.
Okay.
And in response, the government give them $60 million a year.
Okay, but that's like a very specific case.
Yes, but I'm saying that, like, so they're wealthy because of how? If they are the king of the, that means they take a tithe, right? They could get taxes. If she has this, what was it, the Secretary of Interior or Secretary of something? Fears? Some dude, what is he? He plays a character. They all play characters, Nick. You're insane. Wickford.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
The guy that's always loitering around, the one that who does like a background check on her.
Oh, okay.
He's like the secretary, he's like some government official who's like the private plaything to the queen. Not plaything, but like as in puppet to the queen, because she's... He's all like, do a background check. How do you do a background check?
Like her advisor or whatever.
Yeah, but he's like a government official. He mentions it in the movie that he like actually works for the government. Okay. So he's a non-elected,
So there is a government there.
There is a government. Because he's not in, like, she's not doing any like matters of state in the movie at all.
Okay.
So because it's a fictional country, we can't just look it up and be like, do they have a prime minister? It's, like, this is so, like, we've just dug a rabbit hole now.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to find out where monarchy in Europe get their money, and I found, like, the Netherlands, the monarchy received 44 million euro in funding for 2020, but, like, where did that come from? It didn't tell me where it came from, it just told me the amount. I think Liechtenstein was on here. Liechtenstein. The Principality of Liechtenstein is the only monarchy in Europe that does not receive any public money from the taxpayer.
Okay, so if it's
and
not...
And it's one of the wealthiest in Europe.
So therefore, if it's not Liechtenstein, then before it gets public money...
Do you think that's why they set the other one in Liechtenstein?
Which other one? The other one?
Yeah. Which other one? The other one? Yeah, Princess for Christmas is set in Liechtenstein. They're both filmed in Romania, but that one's set in Liechtenstein, whereas this one's set in, like, a fake place.
Because I don't think, if you're a duke, that means you're, like, cousins to the royal family, right? You've just got a title? Like, you're in the umbrella, but you're not, like, you at the top of the pyramid. You could
also be married to a prince or princess. Because that's, like, Kate Middleton is
a princess. But the reason they disowned the family and abandoned the orphans is because the mother didn't have a title.
A title, yeah.
So they were like, fuck them orphans.
Yeah.
We'll send them to America, apparently.
I thought they were already in America.
Interesting.
What do you mean? The kids are clearly raised American.
Yes.
And the mother was American.
Yes.
And they were disowned when they got married. So correct. Before there was kids. So presumably the prince, I guess he was also a prince, was living in, unless there's two different mothers, but then that would be scandalous. Was living in New York, in Buffalo, with the sisters. Probably not living with both of them, but still.
Is that where the sauce comes from?
Where the what?
The sauce.
What sauce?
Buffalo.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. You've been there, I haven't.
I haven't been to Buffalo.
You've been other places other than LAX.
True.
You would
also, probably the closest I've been to Buffalo is actually Toronto.
Fair enough.
It's
upstate, right?
Yeah. There's a border. It's on the border of Canada.
Yeah.
There's a border crossing in Buffalo. It's one of the toughest ones, I think.
Bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Do you want to get into some trivia?
I guess so, before I start trying to dig a rabbit hole forever like a fox.
I'll do A Royal Winter first, so they didn't have a lot for it. One was that it's filmed in Romania. And the other one is that the lady who plays Maggie, her name is Territory Patterson. Is that her name? Hang on, did I take that down weird, or is her name Territory? Merritt Patterson. I was like, that's an autocorrect problem. I was like, there's no way her name is Territory. Merritt Patterson, who plays Maggie, is Canadian, so she's also not American. And she's in a lot of Hallmark movies, or in a lot of like these kind of Christmas movies. So she might pop up again for us. For the other one, also filmed in Romania, as I said. And to go with similar trivia, the actress playing Jules is Irish, the actress playing Maddie is English, and the actor playing Milo is Canadian. They're all playing Americans, but throughout the movie, you do hear their accent slip. I did notice an Irish accent popping up there a few times. The lead actress, her name is Katie McGrath. She's from Wicklow, and she went to Trinity College. There you go. And what else have we got? Oh, yeah. So she's actually only 4 years older than the actor playing Milo.
Yeah.
Despite playing his aunt. I already told you that the antique store owner at the beginning is the director of the movie.
Hi, Johnny. You're my favorite
character. Yeah. Lady Christina, who is a person that Duke Edward greets when he enters the ballroom, is Roger Moore's real-life wife. And then Sam Heughan, who plays Prince Ashton, actually has royal lineage, which he's confirmed in interviews. So he actually is related to the royals. So there's a fact for you.
That's interesting.
Is it? You don't sound interested.
I'm trying to figure out this rabbit hole.
Oh, God.
Was that all of the trivia?
Yep, that's all the trivia.
Oh, okay.
Why are you trying to find out about embezzling taxes to get real estate in the United
States? It's just headcanon now that she's taking... The Queen is currently more ensnared. Like, the reason she's, like, doesn't appear to her son and only gives a shit about what the tabloids wrote, and that's how he can get away with taking public money to make a foundation for orphans that she doesn't notice is mm-hmm. because she's too busy and embezzling the taxes to buy real estate in the United States.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Using dodgy law firms that just accept answers from obscure royalty. That's supposed to
be like a really well-esteemed law firm, right? That was why she was going for it?
Yeah, but you've seen Jurassic Park. The only person on my side is a blood-sucking lawyer.
You've seen Jurassic Park.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh, and then... You know, that's the movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
They do travel in herds. I was going to say they do come in herds. I don't think that's the phrase. No. They do come in herds. A six pack.
Yeah. Six pack of dinosaurs.
Six pack of dinos. That's a herd.
If you have some comments or criticism, you can join us on our Discord. You'll be able to find the link below. And you can come and talk to us there, because that's where we pay attention to. If you want to see where you can find the rest of our episodes, you can go to our website or join our mailing list. We have one of those as well. ittakes2.co.nz.
Mm.
Thank you for joining us for our first of three.
Yes, Christmas episodes. We do have three Christmas episodes this year, because we've got three episodes in December, so look forward to that.
So while you're relaxing with your family, you can imagine us watching these movies.
Mm-hmm. The next one's going to be interesting. And then we'll explain them to you.
I don't like that idea.
Also,
I don't like interesting.
We are on Blue Sky now, so if you're on Blue Sky, you can find us at ittakes2.bluesky.social, I think is the.
I've never used it. I just suggest things.
Just search for us on Blue Sky, and we're there.
Thank you for joining us. Catch you next time.
Goodbye.
Happy holidays.
Yeah.